Hello and welcome to Watch What Crap Ends, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today for the season finale of Atlanta, it's Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hey, good. Happy Monday, sucker.
Happy Monday. A new week is upon us. Today we will be on Amazon, as we are every Monday, at 1:30 West Coast time, 4:30 East Coast time, and we're going to be talking specifically about Real Housewives or just Bravo people and their books. So we're going to be perusing their books and reading out of them. So come join us for that. And then also be sure to join us on Patreon for the full Crappens experience. We've got bonus episodes, video, ad-free listening, and a free newsletter to all. So that's at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Today, here we are. We're at season 17, episode 17, Rebels and Outlaws, the final episode of the season before the reunions. And it all begins at a Go Naked hair shoot promo where Drew and Cynthia and Portia are taking pictures and they're all being lovey-dovey and friendly and et cetera, which is, you know, it's like Portia and Drew have come so far since last year when they hated each other. So good for them.
Over Go Naked.
Yeah.
And that's all how it started was, what are you doing a photo shoot for Go Naked for when I didn't ask you to do a photo shoot for Go Naked? And now it's like, let's do a photo shoot for Go Naked. And they're all smiling and laughing. And well, Portia tells them it's very surreal for them to be the two to bless Go Naked, guys.
Well, there was also a Dennis issue mixed into the middle of that. Don't forget. I know, Go Naked. But you know, here's the thing. I think Drew needs the money wherever she can find it. So she's not gonna bite the hand that puts Go Naked hair on her. So she found a way to go along and get along with Portia. And then we go to Pinky Cole's house, and Pinky is she's having a party, and she's giving another speech. She's often making speeches, and she's telling everyone, not only was I able to buy my company back, I have signed Vegas and DC, my first franchises. And everyone claps, which makes you feel like she's turning everything around. But then at the end of the episode, it's like Pinky is still $4 million in debt. So we'll see.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. So I Googled it. And it says it does not have a permanent location in Vegas, though founder Pinky Cole Hayes brought the brand to the city for a limited run residency at MGM.
Mm.
So.
A pop-up. Okay. Pop-up.
Yeah.
Great.
So then we go to the network ATL, and we're setting up for a listening party for Kay's new album. And she's giving a speech. She's like, Slutty Vegan has given us all so much. And that's why we're opening in Las Vegas. Thank you.
They're like, wait a second, Kay. She's like, sorry, I just got possessed by Pinky. So she's like,
I'm getting ready for the listening session in just a couple days. This event is bigger than me. I mean, you have all these African-American artists like Mickey Gundon and Beyonce and Brittany Spencer who have been fighting for so long. It's our music.
And so she's basically saying how this is like really important. And she's like the only African-American woman signed to a major label in all of Nashville. So she's got to have her own back, which is pretty major. And then now we see, we just sort of see a lot of like fun stuff happening. We sort of just settle in on a pumpkin patch, as one does. And we have Pinky and Kay Michelle and Shamia. And then we also see kids and nurses coming along with them. And Pinky is saying that this is the first time that their kids have all played together. And, you know, they're all going to have a really fun time because they're all the kids are bougie.
Yes. So there's a little haunted house that they all go through. And Kay Michelle's like,
oh, that one's just as ugly as Drew. Hey, that skeleton can sing about as good as Drew can. Hey, those witches are about as mean as somebody in our friend group named Drew.
She really hates Drew. What did Drew really do to Kay Michelle other than just say, oh, yeah, you know, my friend Black?
That was
Don't understand how that was so hurtful. But
it's not hard to get on her bad side. Okay, Kay will Once you're on her bad side, you're on her bad side. And then she'll occasionally do something nice, like, I wish you the well in your country music career. And then she just will come at you for the next 3 weeks.
She'll shame your ass for singing the national anthem for the rest of your life. Go back and sing the national anthem.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's definitely for sure. So they go through all this. They go through this, like, a haunted house, which is funny because the little girl's like, I'm scared. And then the other one's like, I'm not scared. It's like, okay. So they just sort of, they go through all that. And now they're just like talking. And K. Michelle's saying that Drew always has something to say. And Pinky is like, well, yeah, she's like the Busta Rhymes hype man. She's like always doing too much. And Shamia's like, I know. It's like, they're saying I'm sleeping with George. Like, come on. I slept with the guy with the green beard.
Yeah. And they're like, well, at least George and his wife are there to call it out for being a lie. And Shamia's like, I'm just dodging bullets 24/7. I just don't know why everybody's after me all the time. And they're like, yeah, this is just a lot of tit and tat. You know, you guys have to stop that. And Shamia's like, but I'm trying to be bubbly and fun. And I'm out there greeting. I'm petting horses. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Ignore that there's a horse on my lawn? Oh, my God, a horse for me. I'm so shocked. I'm so shocked I got a horse.
I love the scandal of, is this a pre-planned horse?
I know. And then Shamia says, yeah. And then that guy, Terry, came dressed like Jay-Z. And it's like, I need to charge her because that horse shat on my property. And now I got an HOA fine.
Yeah. And she has a little video, by the way, of the horse poop.
Yep.
So Shamia's like, well, I got a fine for my HOA. Do I expect her to pay it? No. I mean, if she says I'm sorry, fine. But, you know, I mean, it's not like this woman needs another debt collector. But if she's an asshole about it, then we're going to have to figure something out. Apologize for that horse pooping.
I mean, I think Drew should pay for that. Drew clearly arranged to have this horse brought on. This was like a stunt. Someone's got to pay for it. Shamia should not have to pay for it if someone brought a horse. It's either Terry pays for it if it's sincere, Drew pays for it if it's produced, or the production pays for it. But that's crazy.
Well, we find out later that it's like $2,200 or $2,700, something crazy, which is, come on, get a trash bag and go clean up the poop. How is this over $2,000?
Well, there's crazy, that thing, too. But how did the HOA know? I guess maybe because there's a whole production there. I mean, who knows? But Shamia is saying she does. You know, I do let the smaller things roll off. I'm like, yes, Shamia. Shamia and K. Michelle, known for letting small things roll off your back. And she says, I'm going to stand 10 toes down on things that are big to me, especially if they're attacking my marriage, my kids, my family. And Kay is like, yeah, you're going to have to defend yourself. And I understand that. But like, what I want is like to have something where everyone is there and like everyone's brought together to have this album listening party because all my fans will be there as your record label.
I like Kay Michelle acting like she's going to have she's going to have this listening party and it's going to bring all the women together and they can like heal and mend as a result of it. And it's basically them in like a general admission room, hot room, crushed up against the stage. And then in the end, she's like, hi, ladies. And then that's it.
Yeah.
Jesus and whiskey.
So do you remember when people attacked Shamia's kids? I don't remember that, but
Well, Portia, I guess you can make an implication like Pilar's not allowed to go over because of everything of the beef between the two of them. And so maybe she's taking that as an issue with kids or everything. I don't know. I don't remember. What I do know is that
you're Queens attacking Bravo, my children. No one attacked your children, ma'am. Angela did attack your marriage, but you attacked Angela's first, as I recall.
Yeah.
You started it.
Queens of Bravo, which is a Twitter account, they said yesterday, actually, I think they said that Reality Blurb reported it. So it's really Reality Blurb reports that Shamia is out at Atlanta. I don't know if this is verified or not, but I would really not be surprised. I think she's had a rough go of it. And I'm sure Gerald is like, why are we on this show? So this may be the end for Shamia. This may be the last we see of her.
Well, that tweet also said that Nene's in and she's out.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. We'll see. So they're talking about this listening party, and Shmi is like, are you going to have Drew do the Star Spangled Banner to open things up?
Yeah, Kim Michelle always goes there, which I think is kind of funny. So now we go, speaking of Drew, Drew and her mom, Pastor Jeanette, are looking at a house with a very aggressive backsplash in the kitchen. And Drew is saying how things are really bad with Ralph and with him being in the basement. And so before she's getting ready to go to court, etc. And so now she's also looking for a new house that has 6 bedrooms. So it's a lot. And
that's
also
crazy. She's looking at a huge mansion. And I was just laughing, not at the story because it's sad. The story is sad. But I was laughing because she's like, and you know, it's been really difficult with Ralph in the basement. And it just cuts to the basement stairs. Why do they do that every time?
Every time they do that.
Every single time they do it. They mentioned Ralph and they just show these basement stairs going down. But yeah, she's looking at a huge house and she goes up to the master bedroom and she's like, that's tiny. It's not tiny.
That's true. We know what your financial situation is. Please stop acting like this is a cottage for you.
Yeah. I mean, it could be worse, and it probably will be. This whole Ralph thing is so sad. I looked that up after to see where that stood. I don't think she won custody back. He won primary custody, and she gets to see the kids every other weekend. I mean,
which is crazy. Really, I'm shocked that that happened. Like, how did that happen? I mean,
he was saying that she wasn't getting the kids to school. And then she came out when that happened and said Ralph was beating one of the children. I mean, the whole thing is just so sad and dark.
Yeah, it is. It is very sad. But we have Pastor Jeanette here. And the thing that is shocking is that Pastor Jeanette is turning 81. I thought she was like 63, 67. 81, Pastor Jeanette. That was, wow. So she's checking in on Drew and she's also saying like, you know, you're doing an awesome job. And Drew says, you know, I'm talking to Dr. Ken. I'm trying to make sure that my mental health is okay because I do carry a lot. I'm like, oh yeah, Dr. Ken, he's really had a great track record with Bravo in terms of healing some of our favorite stars.
Yeah. He also is pretty creepy in this episode. Damn, Dr. Ken.
Yeah, he really is.
Stay behind the screen. You know what I mean? Stay on the other side of the Zoom call because Dr. Ken is pretty handsy. Jeez. So yeah. She's talking about Ralph going for full custody and she has to prove that all the flights she's taken since 2023, she has to prove that they were all working and not just vacation time. And Ralph is saying she's not a present mother. And she's like, but you have to work. Her mom's saying, you have to work in order to take care of your family. And she's like, I mean, even when I'm on set, I'm on FaceTime while they're doing homework and ordering them food. She's like, I don't want to cry today. I just don't have the answers. And this is, I mean, how many times can you say this is really fucking sad?
It's really sad. I also, by the way, I'm curious about this arrangement that, you know, Ralph literally lives in the basement. He lives in the same house with the kids. So like in terms of like getting the kids off to school and things like that, can't he also help with that? I mean, you're in the same house. I'm so just curious how this arrangement is. Like, does he not have contact with the kids while he's in the basement? And then when he's not in the basement, like, she's out of the house? Is that what they do? I mean, because they had a whole scene last season where it's like, yes, he's in the basement, but we do actually kind of co-parent and we try to keep things normal for the kids. So, I don't know. Like, I just feel like there's some fishiness on Ralph's end about these claims that he's making.
Yeah. Ralph also gets to keep the ownership, possession, and title of interest in their Atlanta home. She has to pay him child support. And yikes. I'm just looking over this right now. This is wild. A lot of yikes.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Now we go over to Washington Legal Group with Phaedra. She's sitting down with Kelly and her team about their hearing coming up.
Yeah. So Phaedra, they talk about legal stuff, et cetera, and, you know, divorce stuff. It's, you know, all that, you know, all that stuff. And then eventually Phaedra just sends her team away. And Kelly talks about how court gives her so much anxiety because she always has to go there and deal with her ex there, et cetera. And so Kelly is just thanks Phaedra again for, you know, having her back. And Phaedra's like, well, you know, I went through a terrible divorce and I understand. And so we're going to put you in full armor, the full armor of God. Actually, the breastplate of righteousness. Speaking of which, I have a little gift for you.
Breastplate of righteousness.
The breastplate of righteousness is actually a bra from Neiman Marcus.
And they start laughing. And Kelly's like, you know, I don't wear bras. And she's like, yeah, well, you do need to wear bras because you're poking people in the eyes with those things. So wear this to court. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. And they do a close-up of her nipples.
Don't poke at the judge's eyes.
So now we go to Pastor Jeanette's birthday party, and everyone's there. The whole gang is there. And Drew is, saying that, when she asked Ralph if she could have her mom's birthday party at the house, he was like, no. So they rented an Airbnb. So the whole cast arrives, they start talking about this horse again. And Portia's like, who had a horse? You mean like a real horse? There was a horse at Shamil's? Phaedra's like, it was a real black horse. He was the discount version of Jay-Z because she was dressed as Beyonce.
Oh, wait. So then they're on the run? It sounds like something has been going down between them that we didn't know about.
And so Drew comes down and Phaedra's like, I said, your horse hasn't come back over here. She's like, oh, my God, the horse. Well, he did call and apologize. About the horse. Well, he apologized for standing me up, but we haven't really talked.
Yeah. This weird ass fake storyline wedged in at the end of the season makes very little sense. But, and then Drew's like, I mean, how does he burden me with a horse? It's crazy. So Angela says, horses are expensive. Drew didn't know if her horse was a gift and it was Lisa's horse for her. Drew is just as confused as we are. What do you do with a horse?
Yeah. So Drew says that she has dumped Terry and that's that. So they go downstairs for a drink. And Drew is talking about how it's Ralph's weekend and he wouldn't let her use the house for the mom's birthday party. And she talks about Ralph and her mom having major problems over the years and he's never respected her mother. And she's like, you know, and I'm just gearing up for court. So this is a good distraction, you know, and I have my friends. And Phaedra's like, wait. You have somebody else besides Timu Jay-Z? Who is it? And she's like, just black. You know, it's just black. My mommy loves black.
So then Portia's saying that she's a hopeless romantic. And she says, yes, you can date two people. It's fine. And I need to give my little sister some tips, right? My little sis needs some tips because I'm clearly dating successfully. I'm like, okay, whatever. So they're trying to shoot their scene in the basement. Really nothing's going on, but they're trying to shoot their scene. And then Dr. Ken comes downstairs. And this guy is so starved to be on TV. We know he's not supposed to be down there because he's not even mic'd up. They didn't even put a microphone on him and say, okay, go join the ladies. He clearly was like, oh, they're shooting a scene downstairs. I've got to be on camera. So he comes in the middle of their group scene and then just starts talking and getting handsy and hugging for a long time. And I'm like, this guy is, we've always known he was a camera whore, but this is really above and beyond.
Yeah, this is pretty bad. He keeps throwing himself in front of every camera through the rest of the party. He's the center of the dance floor. And in this one, he's hugging on Phaedra and has his mouth right in her ear. And he's like, oh, yeah, I just love your spark, Phaedra. And I just like to say one thing. Nene? Nene? Or is that Dr. Jeff?
That was Dr. Jeff. I get my doctors confused. That was Dr. Jeff. Dr. Ken is Candace's doctor and also Drew's doctor, and I think there's one or two other people he has helped out. I think maybe was he Cecil and Simone's doctor, a therapist during their hard times.
Oh yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I'll look it up. Everyone
around, and everyone's a little creeped out because he's just staying on Phaedra's ear, and they're like, "What's going on?" So he leaves finally, and she's like, "Well, I do like Dr. Ken. He's a good fella." They're like, So Portia's like, "So you're licking Phaedra's ear, and now you're trying to shade me?" Because he goes, "Hey, Portia, I can be your marriage counselor." She's like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "For your next marriage." And she's like, what's he shading me about? What the hell? Yeah. This guy comes and creeps all over Phaedra and now he's shading me?
Yeah. Yeah. He's just like, "Please have me back on the show. It's been a while. I haven't shot any scenes this season. Now that Ralph won't appear on camera, like, my connection to Atlanta's diminishing." So, so they're basically just like skeeved out by Dr. Ken. And then Portia is like, "Are you moist?" She's like, "Are you moist? Are you moist, Phaedra? What was all that, bitch?" And Phaedra's like, "I don't know." She's like, "You guys got instant chemistry."
Jeez. I love how Portia shaded Dr. Ken, though, because he's like, she goes, "Well, are you long time married?" And he said, "Well, why are you in my business? I'm here for you." And she goes, "You're not here for me. You're not mine." He said he's a professional. Get the fuck out of here.
Get out of there.
Like, "You're not my doctor, Licky. Back off." So then Phaedra is just making like faces and everyone laughs. So then they're talking about how happy Drew's mom looks at 81, and then comes in Black.
Yeah, he is back. And the producer's asking, "Are things getting more serious with Drew and Black?" "No, we're still in the same place. Black and I are just still friends, and he lives where he lives, and I live where I live, and we don't get to see each other a lot, and we talk on the phone, but like, I'm just like really happy, and there's like mutual respect there. I'm just like, it's just like really simple."
And she just told us, "Oh, my mom loves Black. She just loves him. He's a great guy." And then he walks in, and the mom's like, "Oh, wow, Black's a real person." There's Drew for you.
It's also
so now Drew plays her new song for everyone and everybody dances. And now Dr. Ken is grinding up on Jeanette and then, you know, dancing in the center of the floor. All right, Dr. Ken, back up, yes, buddy.
Seriously. Back it up, buddy. It's time to back it up.
Back it up. All right. And now it's time for Shamia and her surrogacy. You know, I had asked a few weeks ago about like the endless series of in vitro and fertility issue and surrogacy things. And I asked the audience, you know, this is a world that I am not connected to. And I said, is this when Bravo shows these scenes, is this compelling content? Because this is stuff that is relevant to a lot of our listeners' lives, or is this frustrating content because you're trying to escape this kind of stuff in your lives? And all I know is that I think recently I spotted something pop up on Reddit and someone was kind of like, "Yeah, I don't want to watch this stuff. Like, this is too close to home." I think that's what I'm thinking. It was about this stuff. Maybe it's just about kids in general. It could have been umbrella, just issues with kids. But there was a resounding, it seemed like there was a resounding response of people saying, "I am trying to escape the shit I am going through." And I kind of have to feel like the ongoing tales of surrogacy and in vitro issues on Bravo has to be driving people nuts. Like, it drives me nuts. I'm not attached to it, but it has to be driving people nuts who are actually going in the thick of it and knowing how tough it is and knowing how expensive it is and knowing how fraught it is. I have to imagine that Bravo must be driving a lot of people nuts with these scenes, right?
Well, they do. I mean, there are a lot of them, you know, there are a lot of these kind of scenes on there. So I don't know. The thing that really bugs me about this one is the whole like, "Oh my God, Gerald really wants a male. And if I can't give Gerald a male, I just don't know what he's going to do." It makes me really not like Gerald. It just feels like a problem. It just feels problematic. Like,
yeah,
it feels gross to me. There, I said, it was like, sorry, it just does. I don't like that whole, like, we have to have a boy, and then what's Gerald going to do? I'm like, what is Gerald going to do? Like, he's going to leave you to go get another boy? Like, what is this about? I don't like it. And then Daphne comes in, and she's like, "Oh, wow, you haven't met Gerald yet. You haven't even met the surrogate?" This is all
that's bizarre. Crazy. I think they spoke on the phone or something like that. But anyway, obviously it's an agonizing moment. I know people who are going through similar things, et cetera. We all know people, but I'm kind of over all these storylines. I'm not going to lie. Maybe this is me being like a, I apologize if this is being sort of skewed through like a male perspective, a gay male perspective. But for me, I'm just kind of sick of it. It's just more like sometimes when the same storyline gets trotted out over and over and over again across all the shows, I just want something new to focus on. I'm sorry.
Well, Shamia's not going to give it to you. Shamia's going to pull out every story. She's going to come out with the song. She's going to come out with the product. She's going to do every like hacky housewife storyline. Not saying that this one is just for storyline, but this one does bug me because of what I just said. And also this. So she's like, so Daphne, you know, I don't want to put a heaviness or weight of this. I don't want to put all the weight on you, but I mean, figuratively. Because literally I do. But, you know, you just have to know how important this is to my family and I. I've been on this journey for 5 years and I've had 4 transfers fail. And now we're down to our last boy and I'm scared. And she's like, well, we just got to continue praying. And she's like, you know, I guess my problem with it is like, stop pressuring her. This is.
I know. I was like, no pressure.
Like before team sports, like you're coaching somebody, like, okay, do not fuck this up. This is the last chance you have, and you will have them. You will bring this male embryo to fruition. Like, what the hell? You're talking about a child growing inside of somebody.
Yeah. And I think what actually is kind of funny about this is that a very common trope on Bravo is that when someone is pregnant, and there's like a tough conversation to be had or there's some sort of tension in the air. There is like the common thing of like, well, we have to leave. I'm carrying a baby and this is stressful and it can ruin everything, which is not wrong, by the way. But I love like the emphasis of like, we don't want to stress out anyone, right? Because you don't want to stress out someone who's pregnant. And then Shamia's like, I don't want to stress you out. But this is the last baby that we have. This is the last boy that we have. So everything's riding on this. And if you fuck it up, you're going to be responsible. And here's a camera in your face. And we're all going to remember who you are. It's like, whoa, can we like, can we like not overload this lady? Let's just like, let her just like go and just have like a peaceful pregnancy without like that sense of obligation just weighing on her.
Yeah. I didn't like it. I don't like it. I don't like Gerald stressing Shamia about it, and I don't like Shamia stressing the mother about it. It's crazy, yeah. Or the surrogate about it. So yeah, Shamia is crying and saying, like, my husband's so good to me. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just want to clarify, because I have to clarify, because I can already tell people are going, there will be some people who will hear the screed that I just had, and I'm concerned it's going to land in the way that I'm not intending it to land, which is merely that we just see this storyline so many times that I'm like a little sick of it, but I'm like, if it's compelling, if I guess what I'm questioning is if this is very compelling and riveting for people, because this is a very real part of life, a real part of the human and the female experience. And, you know, and so it connects with them. I don't want to be dismissive of that. I don't want to be dismissive of something like, oh God, it's another lady trying to get pregnant, right? I mean, it's a man's world. Like, I'm not trying to be like that. I'm just like, I feel like Bravo is constantly pumping the brakes on shows to be like, let's have another serious scene about trying to get pregnant. And I'm like, I want to stick with like deluded ladies getting drunk and having fun and like, you know, going at it, you know, but I just am like over the these somber moments where it's like, no, this show needs to be taken seriously right now. And that's what I'm pushing back against. So for anyone who may confuse what I'm saying as just like dismissing the difficulties and the very real pressures of getting pregnant and going through fertility issues, I'm not dismissing that. I'm just saying on Bravo, I'm ready for some different kind of scenes.
Yeah. Yeah, I just find this problematic, particularly this one problematic. And she's saying, my husband is so good to me and I want to give him exactly everything he wants. And if it doesn't work out, then I have to have this conversation. And I just don't know what I'm ready to have that conversation. Like, I can't even. So what does that mean? Is he going to leave you if you don't produce a male for him? It's just the whole thing is grossing me out. So then we go to Portia's house and Sway comes over. And I have to say, Portia's energy with Sway, like her chemistry, I find it to be the more believable chemistry of most of the people she's been with on this show. I think this one wins. Is this the first time we've really seen Portia with any real chemistry? I guess we saw it a little with the hot dog guy.
I mean, I would have a chemistry with someone who's giving me free hot dogs. That's inevitable. But I think
and part of that was is it chemistry with this guy or hot dog buns? Because those are amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be flipping my hair. If someone's like, here's a Hebrew National. I was like, really? Oh my God. I would be very happy. But I agree. I think that this is, I do feel like I see hearts in her eyes in a real way. I think sometimes with those other relationships, she's almost trying to convince herself or whatever. I think I like Sway the most out of all the people that she has dated so far. I wouldn't say I'm compelled by the storyline. And I think that this whole, like, I've got to make a choice on the season finale, like, reeks of self-producing. But Team Sway, for sure.
She tells us that Sway coaches people to open their own salon suites. That's an interesting.
Sway takes over. Gig. That's such a specific lane. Does Tabitha know about this? Is she okay with it?
I had no idea that this was Sway's thing. And Kenya not could have used you. Because this is like just the year after Kenya left, you know, and her salon's gone now. So where was Sway then?
Of all the careers that you were going to tell me that Sway is in, that was not going to be it. Like literally any other. If you said she is an innovator in cotton candy branding, I'd be like, well, of course. But like consulting on salon opening, I don't know why. I just think it's so funny for Sway.
I've just never heard that's a thing. So to have a whole business, it's you go Sway. So they're being flirty and Portia took the class because she wanted to be supportive. And she's like, is that stalkery? She's like, yeah, kind of, but it's hot.
That's actually really sweet. That's how you know it's real. If you take a voluntary class on best practices in opening a salon, although to be fair, Portia does have Go Naked Hair. I would not be surprised
if the
Portia Go Naked Hair salon opens up in Atlanta, maybe in the former home of Kenya Moore Hair Care.
Yeah. And Sway's like, well, you're on call in every area of your life. And she's like, was that some shade? And she's like, no, I mean, it's just that you're doing a lot over there as well. She goes, whatever I do with you. And she's like, you're with me like 30% of the time. obviously talking about Mike. So she's like, so I am curious to know where we stand, because you know I'm not really a big fan of being part of a triangle and stuff. And Portia's like, okay, so Mike, she goes, oh gosh, so wait, there's love going on with Mike? And she's like, well, I'm a very lovable person. And we see the clip of Mike announcing that he is in love with Portia in front of Kay Michelle and her guy at the bowling alley.
Yeah. So then Portia says, you know,
last time, I mean, we did discuss this, but you were dating someone else when we met.
And Sway is like, correct. She goes,
yeah, so back at ya.
She's like, well, but am I still dating other people? Not like I was before, but you know, we still engage with people every now and then. So she's like,
well, so when are you going to decide not to date this other person?
She's like, well, it has to be a feeling with you. Like, you know what I'm saying? She's like,
but I'm telling you, I feel it.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, I feel it.
Right now? I didn't know you were feeling it. I only learned like 30 seconds ago that you were feeling it. Okay.
She's like, it's the season finale right now. I'm feeling it right now. And she's like, oh, okay. So she goes,
yeah, because like, I feel like spending more time together, it's definitely changed things. You know, like it's a problem for Mike.
And Sway says, lesbian going to be a problem? She's like,
lesbian? Am I a lesbian yet?
So basically, Portia is saying, you know, like, you know, love is love. She's like, you know,
is anybody done with men for good when they get a heartbreak? We don't know. It's not gender. It's feeling and curiosity.
Is this where she does like the rainbow hands? She's like,
I thought so, but it may have been later.
Because it may have been later. I'm gay, gay. I'm gay, 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 gay.
Later on, she talks about how like Mike found out, which was because Portia basically made it Instagram official with Sway, and Mike found out that way. She's like, oh, well. So maybe it was then when it happens.
Okay. So Angela, let's go to Angela's house, family dinner. And people are finally moving into her house. She's got tenants for her other house. And so Angela is telling Amari, and Amari is like, yeah, the spiders found a roommate, I guess. It's the spider house.
Yeah. And Angela says that they got an exterminator, which is always great. And they start talking about a Fangy photo shoot, and hopefully Fangy will be ready for Christmas. I mean, I'm going to get a Fangy as soon as I can get my hands on one. Well,
watch your wig,
Fangy. I don't think there'll be any concerns about my hair getting caught in it, unfortunately.
So Angela's questioning why Valeria is not here. And it's Sunday night, which is when Game of Thrones is on, House of the Dragon. So, of course, I was like, yes, Valerian. But it's not. It is Amari's wife. And she's like, well, she's work. She was going to come, but she had to work. You want to call her? We should FaceTime her. So they do. And Angela's talking about how the elopement really upset her. And so we see Valeria on FaceTime. And Angela's like, well, last time you saw me was on the phone and I was having a very heated discussion with Amari. So we see that after the last scene where they were doing mom and daughter therapy on the couch, that Amari just went straight to the kitchen and called her wife. And Angela walked in and was like, don't do this. Don't do this right now.
So Amari is like, yeah, every time I talk to her or we have like a serious conversation, she always brings up how much I hurt her. So Valeria's on FaceTime. She goes, well, I mean, you can't change someone's perspective, even though you know their intentions are pure. And then Angela's like, Amari, stop. You're going to give her a flawed view of what this is. And Amari is like, what do you mean? She's like, don't even do this. She's like, it's my perception. That's my perspective. So that was the whole flashback, apparently. And then we're back, and Valeria is now, like, on the phone, and she's like, you know, I get it. It was just, you know, our elopement was just very spur of the moment, and I recognize how it affected you guys, especially you. And I know you guys are very close, so I can see that how that can be very hurtful. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and Angela's like, you know, Angela's upset, and she had every right to be. So they hang up with Valeria, and Angela's crying. And then she's like, Charles, why do I feel like I'm having this conversation alone? And he said, because you're the only one talking.
She's like, you don't have anything to say? He's like, no. She's like, do you feel like she should get married? He's like, I mean, she has to make her own decisions. So Amari's like, I hate to say it, Mom, but I feel like the reason why I was so secretive about it is because I didn't want to prove you right. She's like, oh, are you having any type of regret? She's like, yeah, I think you were right about a lot of things, but about getting married and the work, and you have to put all the work you have to put into marriage. You were right, Mom, all along.
So she's having problems in her marriage? What the hell?
I can't even tell.
Why are you bringing that up now? Big. I need to know.
Charles is just sitting there. He's like resting all the way back. He's like, yeah, marriage is hard. Does that count? Are you happy, Angela? I contributed. Like, so yeah, anyway.
And Angela goes, this is being married. Like motions at Charles like, oh.
Mother she's and daughter,
like, you know, you've gone, you've seen everything we've gone through. It's hard. And Charles is like, it is hard. Life is hard, you know? And Amari's like, well, this is just not an easy life. And you were right, Mom. You were right. So there you go. You have it. So now I want to know what's happening with Amari and Valeria. I don't like this.
I sort of want to know, but it's, you know, I'm okay. I will rest well at night.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So put in saloon. So Kay Michelle is putting together her listening party and people are arriving and everyone's like, we're so proud. And her, by the way, her sister is there and they look exactly alike, Kay Michelle and her sister.
Are they twins? They're not twins, right?
They're not twins. They're not twins.
Yeah, she's just like her. So then everyone arrives and, you know, Pinky and Kay are talking about, are taking each other. I don't know. Who cares? Kelly's arriving and Kelly arrives and she's saying today was a much better day. And they're asking about the court date. And it turns out they didn't have a court date because her ex-husband sued the county and he filed 5 motions that the judge has to review, which is most likely a delay tactic.
Yeah.
So this is just going to keep going and going and going and going. Drew comes and she's like, I'm excited that I'm even invited to Kay Michelle's listening party. I mean, I made the list. You know, I like her songs. It seems to put her in a happy place. So I like seeing her in this moment in her music bag. Good for her.
So everyone says hi. And, you know, so then Drew, they start talking about animals. And Drew says, well, you know, I have a horse now. And Kelly is like, is that your horse? And Pinky is like, oh, I got to get my boots on for the horseback riding. So they're laughing about the horses. And then Shamia's like, oh, you know, that horse shat in my yard, right? And Drew's like, where's the evidence? This is the first time I'm hearing of it. Drew, you need evidence to know that a horse pooped somewhere. Please.
And do you doubt it? Have you ever been on one? They'll poop mid-walk while they're taking you down the street after a wedding or something. You know, when you take one of those carriage things, they'll poop right at you. Okay, a horse doesn't care. So Shamia whips out a piece of paper and she's like, here's all the fines. It's official from the HOA. So the violation was permitting livestock to stray. And
did that horse go to other yards? Just went down up and down the street?
I don't know. It says the client is demanding a $2,200 fine for professional cleaning and sanitation services, $800, property restoration and landscaping repair, $700, administrative costs related to HOA compliance, $200, and legal costs incurred to date, $500. What the hell? I bet
it must have pooped on the street. It's probably a gated community. It probably pooped on the street or somewhere. And then they, like, someone saw horse poop on the street and complained. Because there was probably a neighbor across the street that's like, look at them filming a television show. And now there's a horse. And the horse just pooped off the side of the curb. Well, it's not on her property. It's on the community property. You know that's what happened.
That horse poop meant that the trash cans cannot be pulled to the exact line they are supposed to be pulled to. That is an extra $1,000.
I'm calling Anne Hathaway.
Well, she didn't bring the horse, so why don't you send this letter to the guy who brought the
100%.
Horse?
100%. Send it to Terry. Send it to Daryl. I would be pissed. But then Drew was like, what? What have you concocted? This is crazy. So they give it to Portia. I mean, not Portia, to Phaedra to read. And Phaedra's like, I don't know. But they're like, this is a crazy document. And Drew's like, this is really corny, but I'm going to look into this. Like, why are you putting these falsified papers in front of me? There's no pictures. There's no evidence. If you need help with your taxes, just say so. Drew. This is Drew trying to get out of paying this fine is hilarious.
Yeah. Don't throw IOUs in a broke house. So she's like, this is performative. It's very performative. She goes, performative? You brought a horse to my house.
She's like, I didn't know I was getting the horse.
So funny. So Drew's like, Pedro, will you look at this? And she's like, yes, I will look at it. Property restoration, landscaping repair, administrative costs. They're like $2,200. And Kay Michelle goes, for horse shit.
That's high. That is pretty high.
Angela's like, that horse had diarrhea. And so Pedro's like, that's crazy. So now Portia arrives with Sway. And, you know, Shamia tells us, Shamia watches. Portia does not even address her. And Shamia says, at the end of the day, I know I did my best to try to salvage this friendship by bringing up the fact that her mother tried to sleep with my dad. I thought that by airing that on national TV, it would finally salvage our friendship. But at this point, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to reciprocate the energy you're giving me. I'm going to match it.
Okay. Well, she's giving very happy energy today, and you're not matching it. And I just love Shamia's retelling. Like, I did my best to salvage this relationship. When? Please, I need Shamia to be asked questions. Like, when was this? Because you say a lot of things in these confessionals that just didn't happen. So now it's a hard launch of Sway. And so Sway is introduced to everybody. And everyone's like, oh my God, Portia seems so happy.
Yeah, it's a hard launch. She's official with Patrice. This is where she says,
we are very serious. This is a gay rainbow because I'm gay, real gay. I fucked around and found out. Woohoo, gay.
And then she goes,
yeah, but by the way, so Mike ended up finding out about the post, and I didn't do right by him on that, but I made it right. So, yeah, okay. But I'm also like not getting married. So like, whatever.
Yeah, he found out on Instagram. Oh, yeah. Mike.
His contract was over. Yeah. So then Angie's like, hey, everyone, I brought everyone a Fangy for you to try. So Portia turns it on. This like bright light shines out. She's like, wow. And then it gets like her hair gets caught in it. They're like, what?
Yeah, it's a flashlight as well as a fan, apparently. And Angela's like, no, don't do me like that. Press the top button. Lady, I don't want a fan that I might confusedly turn a flashlight on in my face. You know?
Yeah.
Seems like a bizarre design. So then they do turn on the fan. They're like, whoa, that's loud. That's a loud little fan. And the back of the fan sucks Portia's hair in and it breaks it. And Angela's like, oh, okay, I need to put a warning label on there. She had it too close to her wig.
She sort of gathers them up like, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. So now it's time for singing and dancing, really just singing. It's Kay Michelle, so she performs her song Jesus and Whiskey, which is not to be confused with coffee and sex. And she sings it. It's fun. And then she sings a song called Jack Daniels. And then after that, a song called Maker's Mark. And then after that, it's a song called Doers and a song. She was really just like going right down the aisle. Just like, and now here's another song dedicated to my favorite whiskey.
The Lord and Belvedere. The Spirit and Tequila.
Yeah. I don't know about Jesus and Whiskey. I respect the country album thing. I don't know that I need more songs playing about Jesus. And Jesus and Whiskey. But, you know, to each their own, I guess. The vocal performance, not great on this. And I was actually really surprised. Because I've listened to some Kay Michelle since this show came on. And her vocals are pretty good. But these live ones were,
It's not amazing. She's probably furious at Bravo. She's probably not going to come back next season just because of that. She's like, you were doing me dirty like that. She's going to blame it on Portia. She's like, Portia told the producers, like, put that cut in. I just know it. But they all are singing along and they're happy. And Kay Michelle gives a speech about how the songs are based off of stories of men that have attempted to destroy some of the most powerful and beautiful women, you know, like Jesus and Whiskey. And so she's like, and I met the most beautiful women recently, and these women have raised their kids, and they make their money, and they talk their shit, and they get up every day looking beautiful, and not like what they're actually going through. So she basically tells her castmates, you guys have all changed my life. Thank you for running a conspiracy against me and putting it out there. that my coochie smelled one time.
Before anybody can beat me to it, I'm going to sing. This song is called Plans.
What was she calling it?
Conspiracies and Plans to try and get me.
So she performs a song and then starts passing the mic to all the ladies to sing it one by one.
By the way, the song is called
Don't Assume I Know Your Song.
The song is called Vsop, and I was like, what does Vsop mean? It actually pertains to cognac. She really is just going to sing about alcohol. Every single song is going to be about booze.
Well, it's country music. She does need a song about a truck in there, you know? There needs to be a song about Jesus. There needs to be a song about whiskey. And there needs to be a song about your truck and how much you love it.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, it also, Vsop, it also is just is like slang for like high end liquor. But the point is, we were joking before about how every song could be named after like a whiskey or a liquor. And it really is going to be that way, it turns out.
The Virgin Mary and Vsop.
So she starts handing the mic to everyone, and they're supposed to know all the lyrics to this. And they mostly do, actually, until it starts coming to Drew. And Drew's like, oh, God, don't hand me the mic. I don't know the words to this song. But she does hand her the mic. And Drew's just like, a delusional America, America. It's like, I don't know what to, like to sing.
It's just like, oh, say, Vsop, can you Vsop, Vsop, Vsop?
Like, okay, that's enough out of you, Drew.
And Phaedra says, yeah, everyone in this group could be in church choir, but let's face it, Whitney Houston is not among us.
Yeah. So Drew is like mortified. And then we go to they've sort of finished that, and now they all go backstage and they start talking, and they're all just kind of like, everything is like fine and happy and good. And Pinky is saying how tonight really feels like a celebration, and she's like, you know, I'm not fine. By the way, just so you know, Vsop is one of K Michelle's like earlier famous songs from like 2013, which is why all of them knew the lyrics except for Drew, by the way. So they're just like chatting and everything. And Kay Michelle's like, Drew is crazy. And Drew's like, no, you're more crazy. She's like, no, Drew is crazy. You don't think you're a little bit crazy? Just a little bit. She's like, I mean, you know, I can tap into it if I need be, but I still don't understand why we have to get off on the wrong foot.
Yeah. And she's like, well, Drew, you be plucking. You're doing stuff, girl. You're stirring up the pot.
And Pinky's like, uh-oh, look at Shamia ready to jump in. And Drew says, I'm just going to let you move on from it because you never even talked about what I did. And
she's like, you're starting out. That's what you did. You said it was a scheme and you didn't feel safe. What? Well, you're doing stuff like trying to imply that I knew that man. You're just implying. She goes, but you did know him. You did know. Tell him. Tell me how I know that man. Well, you saw him on my phone. You definitely did even before I met you.
And Drew's like, well, your reaction was like that you knew him, so you never knew him? Okay, so everyone heard her say she doesn't know Black. So you're saying you don't know him? Well, here's the DM.
And
dun, dun.
And Kim Michelle's like, I didn't look at the DM until after you said that was my friend. And Drew's like, so, but that would be in August of September, right? So then Phaedra's like, I know we're not talking about these text messages with Black. Lord Jesus, here's the text messages. Girl, save it for David.
So she's showing the text, which is basically him saying, wow, I saw you and you were so great. I was so proud of you. And she said,
I saw you out there. It was so good to see you too, honey.
And he was like, yeah, rooting for you. Something like that. That was kind of an innocent. It looked pretty innocent to me. And, but her point is this text was long before Drew even brought it up. So that's supposed to be some kind of proof. And then the security guard is trying to get Drew out of there, like kind of trying to drag her out of there. And then she falls over. And yeah.
She winds up on the floor.
Yeah.
And it was awful. And then Drew's like, guys, I tripped. It happened. Okay. But I got a DM nonetheless. And Kay Michelle's like, well, we might trip, but we don't fall. Get your ass up. You're looking stupid. Come on.
She's like, yeah, she's like,
do you know how many
over.
People on me, how many men hit on me? Good looking man, rich man, broke man, everybody's man. I say, thank you for coming, handsome. Jesus, I don't care about no black. I don't know about no black.
And Pinky's like, why are we even talking about black? What is going on? Why is this fight still happening? We're 18 episodes in it, or 17 episodes, and nobody understands this argument.
Yeah, so basically, Drew's like, I'm leaving, goodbye. And then she's telling people, I tripped on my pants. So then Drew tells us, you know, somehow I wound up on the floor, tackled by security. That's what happened. I was tackled. And, but she says, you know, you're a beautiful singer, but at the end of the day, as a human being, you suck. And your people are fucking aggressive, and they pushed me down.
Pinky also announces that she is no longer declaring bankruptcy, but she did 2 months ago. So Kay Michelle's like, go sing the national anthem and leave me the fuck alone. So she leaves and all the fans are heckling her. They're like, yeah, get out of here, loser.
Yeah. And so then they basically end the episode where everyone is like gathers out front to take a group photo. But like Drew is not there because she's left for now. And we see Phaedra is still the godfather of Atlanta and now the Lady of the Glen. But unfortunately, her Scottish property exists mostly in spirit. And then Pinky is nearly $4 million in debt. But she is moving on to a new chapter in her life. Chapter 11. But she is filing bankruptcy and she's teaching. She's on TikTok teaching haters, do as I say, not as I owe.
Shamia's is, after quite a year of navigating friendships, Shamia's business life took a hit. Rum bum may be done, but Shamia's on to her next adventure with Gerald by her side. They're launching a perfume line. Oh, for please keep the butt bottle. Please make it an ass perfume. Please.
Yeah, you don't have to come out with a product just because you're on The Housewives. Also, I know everyone wants to capitalize off these things, but just because you're on a show doesn't mean you have to have a product to just do something else. Then the whole gang is still like, they're still sort of, you know, joking around and stuff. And now Angela's thing is, after more therapy, Angela and Amari have built a healthier bond. And with things cooling down in her personal life, the wait list for the Fangy drop is heating up. So,
yeah. So then there's a little mini fight with Kelly and Angela. Where Angela's like, oh, you wore your kitten heels. And Kelly says, boots just as tall as you. And she goes, oh, your bills are too, honey. Yes, Angela. Kelly's like, why are you worried about mine? Worried about your own debts. She goes, worried about the goddamn lawsuit from your husband. Then you better worry about Charles. You better put him back on the court.
Don't mess with Angela. She comes back at you quickly. So then Kelly is like,
Angela goes for, you know, she just goes for the kill move every single time.
And it works.
So
even Drew, when she misses, it's hilarious.
Yeah. So Drew leaked the tea on Kelly's Nana's Sandy Springs closing. And we see the DM of Drew like being,
doesn't look like this is open to me. Looks pretty closed. Whoops.
Yeah. And then, then we see a month later, we see that there was like another update on Kelly's situation, which is just like, it still sucks. And then Drew suddenly comes back because they were like, Drew, you have to be here for the final photo of the season. Get your ass back here. So she's like, well, I love the girls in the group, so we have our bumps in the road, but I came back to show up for the ones that support me. I'm like, no, the producers told you to come back and take a photo. And Drew's update is that... she and Ralph reached a settlement in their bitter divorce, and reportedly Drew was ordered to leave the marital home and lost primary custody of the children and is required to pay monthly child support, as we already mentioned.
Yikes. I just have to mention Phaedra's statement. She's like, the judge found, this is regarding Kelly's husband, the judge found that he was in contempt of the order and mandated him to be incarcerated until he purges $31,000. I just let the lawyer speak. The purge is $31,000. So then Kay Michelle's is...
Oh,
what's that?
Sorry. No, I didn't realize we missed Kay Michelle's. My bad.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Michelle's is that her album dropped July 31st, and she's yodeling all the way to the bank. Portia and Sway are still going strong after 8 months, taking family vacations and living their best life. But despite AI-generated rumors, her ring finger will still go naked.
Yeah. So that was the season finale. I wouldn't call it a great episode, but I think overall a pretty good season. Maybe a stronger first half than a second half, but you know, these things happen. So the reunion trailer, on the other hand, looks amazing and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. So a 3-part reunion coming up. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She gets an A from us. It's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.